I'll be reading Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 15. So that's page 829. Jesus said, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the wilderness,' don't go out. If they say, 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' don't believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer's near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away."
Thanks, Julia, and can I add my welcome to Julia? It's great you've been able to make it today. One of the downsides of only having 20 minutes is that we have absolutely no chance of covering all of the details in this text. But what we're going to try and do is get the big message, and I'd love to chat afterwards if people have further questions. But just for the first 1 minute, again, around tables, I've put a question there for you, just to discuss quickfire, and Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, verse 35. Why do we find it so hard to imagine that this world, this universe, coming to an end? So just 1 minute around tables to discuss that. Now, last week, I hope you've got the passage open. We're looking at the return of Jesus. That's our subject for these 5 weeks. Chapters 24 and 25 are all about the return of the Lord Jesus. Now, last week, we saw the delay. And do go back and listen to that online if you want to. And that's chapter 24, verses 1 to 14. Jesus said there would be a delay before his return. Today, our subject is his return itself, okay? What will happen? When will he come? And how can we be sure? Now, at heart, we are going to see Jesus saying through these verses that we are now living in the dying moments of this creation, this world, this age. That is, that it is a core Christian belief that we are living in the dying moments of this universe, this age. The Messiah has come, Jesus. He's died for sin. He's risen again. He's ascended to the Father's right hand. We are now living in the very last moments of this world before he returns to rule forever. Now, as I'm sure you can see straight away, if that is true, it completely transforms what we think we're living for. Our priorities in life, absolutely everything, doesn't it? Of course, as well, it is contrary to the worldview around us, which is that this world is going to continue indefinitely, so we better preserve it at all costs. Jesus says in this passage, these are the last moments before it's all going to pass away. Couldn't be more contrary, could it, to the worldview around us? And so three questions today. What is going to happen when he returns? When will he return? Will he return? How certain can we be? And we even have today a homemade illustration to my right here, which I'm looking forward to using very much. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Firstly, what will happen? Okay, so that's point number one on your sheets. Number one, when Jesus returns, it will be the end of the universe. And that's verses 29 to 31. Look with me at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. In other words, immediately after the general tribulation of unspecified length, the delay that we were talking about last week with false teaching, persecution, desertion, all of that stuff. Immediately after that tribulation, the end will come. You can see the diagram there, the timeline that we're going to be looking at, and the end there. What will the end be like? Verse 29. The sun will stop. The moon will stop, give no more light. The stars will fall. In other words, all of the lights will be switched off, plunged into darkness. In fact, the whole universe as we know it will cease to exist. You see that in verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away. The God who made it in the first place will bring it to an end. It's completely illogical to believe that he can't do that. If he made it in the first place, he can bring it to an end. Now look at verse 30. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. Now, we don't know what this is. It will be visible to all because the nations will be able to see it. It will be something that makes obvious to all that the moment has finally come. The game is up. The curtain has fallen. And then the tribes of the earth will mourn. That is all those who have opposed Jesus and refused his call to repent will mourn when they see that the game is up. Why will they mourn? I take it they will mourn the loss of everything that they've lived for and held dear, this world. They will mourn with deep regret of people who knew about the forgiveness that they could have had, and yet now it's too late. Most of all, I take it, they will mourn with despair, realizing now the awful destiny that faces them. And notice there will be no more pretending. No more, you can have your truth and I will have mine. You hear that in the workplace, you hear that all over in our culture at the moment, don't you? You know, it's fine for you to have your truth, that's true, and I'll have my truth, that's true as well. There'll be no more pretending, no more room for that. Why? Verse 30, because, do you see that? They will see the Son of Man. It will no longer be possible, therefore, to pretend that Jesus isn't real, because there he will be in all his glory. It will no longer be possible to pretend that he isn't God, because there he will be in all the glory of God. Picture it for a second. All other light has gone. The lights have been switched off. Only he will shine with all the glory of God. And it will be the moment of truth for the universe. A terrible moment for those who have not recognized him in this life. And now look at verse 31 and see what his immediate priority will be. Verse 31, he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In other words, the first thing that the Lord Jesus will do when he comes again on the clouds is he will bring his long-suffering people home. From all corners of the universe, you notice that? Those who've died, he'll bring them in. Those who are still alive, he'll bring them in. Not one will be missing. In my imagination, it's like if you imagine a father coming back after a long work trip of maybe a couple of months, bursting in through the doors and saying to his servants, I suppose it's got to be a while ago he had servants, saying to his servants, go get my children. Bring them to me. That trumpet sound will be a sweet sound for the follower of Jesus. It will be the end of this universe. But it will also be the beginning of a new eternal age as God's King comes at last to claim his universal rule and bring in his everlasting kingdom. This will be the wrapping up of all of God's plans and promises from the beginning. This final day. Everything finally wrapped up. Daniel chapter 7. He will come on the clouds of heaven, a son of man, and all nations will serve him, and his rule will be from everlasting to everlasting. Daniel chapter 7. This will be the moment. This will be the day. Of course, if this day is coming, it changes absolutely everything, doesn't it? About life and our priorities. So, what will happen at the end of the universe? Secondly, though, when will it happen and how do we know? And the answer to both of those questions is that AD 70 was the sign. Now, this may or may not be familiar to some of you today, so we're just going to take a little bit of time looking at this. Look down with me first, please, at verses 32 to 34. You'll see Jesus draws his teaching together and says, from the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Okay, verse 33, what does he mean there? So also when you see all these things, in other words, when you see the destruction of the temple, then you will know he is near at the very gates. In other words, you will know the Son of Man is about to come and bring the end. Now, why are we saying these things must refer to the destruction of the temple? Well, for that, just come back to the very beginning of this conversation, chapter 24, verse 3. And see their question again. The disciples sit with Jesus and they say, tell us, when will these things be? And if you look back at verse 2, you'll see what they're referring to. Jesus has just said to them, truly I tell you, there will not be one stone left upon the other that will not be thrown down. In other words, the temple, because that's where they are. They're looking at the temple. Jesus says it's going to be destroyed. They say, when? When will these things be? And so the disciples ask that question, and Jesus' answer comes throughout the rest of the section, all the way to verse 35, but it's actually very simple. What he says is these things, the destruction of the temple, will be within one generation. And he said that in AD 30. He says the destruction of the temple will be within one generation. And then you notice their second question, what will be the sign of your coming? Jesus says, that will be the sign. The destruction of the temple will be the sign that the age is about, the end of the age is about to come. And you see that he then begins to, he spends 10 verses talking about the delay where we were last week. And then in verse 15, that word so, or in other words, coming now to your question, he then tells them about the destruction of the temple, the abomination of desolation, standing in the holy place, and at that point, flee. In other words, 15 to 28, all about the destruction of the temple, that is the sign. And then come to verse 29, sometime after the destruction of the temple, at that point the end will come. And so you'll see the diagram there I put on your sheets, the sign, AD 70, and then the end. Now, for those who don't know, the temple was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, just 40 years after Jesus spoke these words. It was within a generation, just as he said it would be. And so the point is this, if I can use an illustration, in this building there are a few red boxes around, and if you smash it, you will hit the fire alarm. And that will be the warning for us to get out. On a cosmic level, then, the alarm has been hit in AD 70. The final countdown has begun. Now you'll see I've made a temple here. It's a very, very simple illustration. On a cosmic level, in AD 70, God hit the alarm. I'll try and make sure no stone is left on top of another. That's the point. The alarm has been hit, the siren is sounding, the end is near. Actually, it's more than just an alarm. What Jesus is saying here is that the destruction of the temple is the beginning of the end. Now you get this puzzling verse in verse 22. Just have a look at this. If those days had not been cut short, in other words, those days of the destruction of the temple, where Jerusalem was besieged, it was an awful time, you can read about it. If those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. What's going on here? In other words, the point seems to be that the destruction of the temple was very nearly the end of the world. It could have been, and in some sense it should have been, the end of the world. God's hand was lifted at that point to bring everything to an end. The floodgates of judgment were opened. And if it had continued, no human being would have been saved. But he stopped the juggernaut. He paused the judgment. Why? For the sake of the elect, so that in these last moments of history, he might gather in his people through the proclamation of the gospel. But as soon as you see this, AD 70, Jesus' point, verse 33, you know that he is near at the very gates. In other words, the world is on borrowed time ever since AD 70. Now, there are many historical events that we study, aren't there? I did history for my degree. You know, you study World War I, World War II, Industrial Revolution, Caesar, all of these things that you will have studied as well at some point, I'm sure. From God's perspective, these things may be interesting, but they are of very little significance. I never studied the destruction of the temple in AD 70 by the Romans. But however, from God's perspective, it is certainly the most significant historical event since Christ. It signals the end of the world. Now, I just want to zero in for one moment Because AD 70, it's a sign that's working in two ways, okay? So it is about timing, when it will happen, when the end is coming, soon. He's at the gates. But it's also about proof and preview. It's also about whether it will happen. Now, if we think Jesus is bluffing about the end of the world, Jesus says, look at the temple. Just imagine for a second being with the disciples there with Jesus as he said these words. They were looking at these buildings of the temple. They'd been there for 500 years. Jesus says, look at those. I tell you, within one generation, not one stone will be left upon another. What do you think they're thinking? Yeah, right. Within 40 years, lo and behold, destroyed exactly as he said it would be. And now, in the same way, we may look at this world and this universe and think, yeah, right. Well, he wasn't bluffing about the temple, and he's not bluffing about his return. His words have been tested in history. So AD 70, the sign in two senses, it is about his timing, he's at the gate, it is about proof, he's not bluffing about his return and the end of the world. Now we need to come to the point, and I think the conclusion that Jesus wants all of his disciples to reach from these words is that we are living in the dying moments of this whole world, this first creation, before he returns to bring the end of the universe. That's the point in verses 32 and 33. Apparently there are only two seasons in Jerusalem, summer and winter. So there's no spring really, it's just summer and winter. So look at verse 32 where he says, from the fig tree learn its lessons. When the leaves come out in Jerusalem, it's not spring, it's literally the first signs of summer. The new season is almost upon us. And so the lesson of AD 70, the eternal summer of Jesus' rule is almost upon us. And in fact, he could come at any time. He's at the very gates. Now, it's easy to miss this, these verses, verse 32, full of hope for the Christian. Summer is nearly here. It really is wonderful news for the Christian. You know how you feel when you're about to go on summer holiday, right? You've got two or three days left of work. You're clearing the desk. You've got 3 weeks ahead of you, or 2 days ahead of you, probably, you guys. And you're just about to go. That feeling of we're nearly there. That is what Jesus is saying to his followers. This is the moment we're living in. The very last moments before the summer comes. Except this summer holiday that he's bringing, that we're waiting for, will never end under the wonderful rule of Jesus in his kingdom with him forever. There was a guy called John Newton, a Christian, who put it like this to one of his fellow Christians who was going through a hard time. I think these words really struck me. He said this. He said, the troubles which every day bears away will return no more, and see, the end of all is at hand. What an encouragement for the Christian who has this hope. And so what a different perspective on reality the Christian should have. We are about to be gathered up. This city, these great buildings, these great companies, Schroeder's, I looked up today, founded in 1804. That's pretty good going, isn't it? 200 years, these great companies and buildings, they are in their dying moments before Christ, our Saviour, returns. And so therefore, invest no hope in this world. That is what verse 35 is all about. The conclusion, heaven and earth will pass away, my words will not. Why does Jesus say that to his disciples? It's beautifully put, isn't it? Well, because those are the two options that we have, as where to put our hope and trust. Are you going to put your hope and trust in this world? It's passing away. Or in Jesus' words about his return? They will stand forever. Let me pray as I close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reality check, that when Jesus returns, it will be the end of the universe. Thank you that you've given us a sign, a clear sign. And thank you that now we are living in the last moments of this creation. He is at the very gates. Please help us to believe this. Please help us to live in light of this reality. And we pray for those of us who are Christians that we would be waiting eagerly and faithfully for his return. And we pray for anyone looking into things that you would help them to see, give them eyes to see the truth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.